Hey, I'm just letting you know that in February 2023, I am speaking at my friend Andy Storch's event in Sonoma, California. It's called the Talent Development Think Tank. I'll be running a session on marketing your workshops. And on day three, I'll be hosting the 2-hour workshop blueprint session. I'd love to see you there. Head on over to leannehughes.com/thinktank. Enjoy the episode.
Life's too short, so you're here to work and live large. Here's your host with nothing to lose, Leanne Hughes.
G'day and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Leanne Hughes, and it's just wonderful to welcome you to episode 3. Now, this is a surprise mini-sode. It's a surprise maybe because you were expecting an episode to come out next week, but also I was expecting to bring you a new episode next week, not today. I'll tell you what happened. I was looking at this podcast in Apple Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts does something called frequency. So it advises any listeners how often a podcast will go out. So if you used to listen to First Time Facilitator, you would see every week on a Monday, weekly on Mondays, you would see that in Apple Podcasts. When I checked this, because I brought up the show on Monday, the 2x Tuesday came out yesterday, today is Wednesday, it says in Apple Podcasts, this show comes out daily. And so I thought, well, that's a bit of a challenge. But it also reminded me of streaks, habit streaks, and my love-hate relationship with those streaks, which I'm about to talk through in this episode. But first, before I jump into that, I just want to say thank you so much for all of your support. If you've reached out, if you've downloaded, if you listened, if you've shared, if you've commented, thank you so much. Not only for this podcast, but if you've watched the YouTube channel and commented there and liked it, and I really appreciate that. It provides a lot of momentum. And encourages me because it was a big step, sort of giving up, not giving up, but pausing First Time Facilitator and going and starting something new because you just don't know what it will be like. You think if you've had some success with the show, you think, oh gosh, is it going to be as successful or am I doing the right thing? And I think the concept around work and live large has actually really resonated with many of you. So thank you so much for your support. Let's talk about habit streaks. So first of all, I'll define what a habit streak is. What it is it's a way to build a skill or develop a habit. It could be positive or negative, but James Clear talks about it in his book, Atomic Habits. Really helpful for behavior change. As an example, the example he spoke about was going to the gym. And he says, if you want to go to the gym, just get to the gym. Put your clothes out, put your shoes out, and then he gives the example of someone getting in their car, driving to the gym, checking in, then leaving the gym and going back home without actually working out. And then he said, do it again the next day and then, you know, spend 2 minutes working out. So you go there, do the 2 minutes, turn around, come back, give it 5 minutes. And once you have got 5 minutes, so you think, oh, I'll just do another 5 minutes, right? And this is how you develop then longer time at the gym, but it starts through creating a really simple starter to get over the hurdle of beginning. Through this, as you develop that streak, you start recording it. There's a couple ways. One is visually. I think the easiest is just getting like a calendar, which has like box dates. And then after everyone, you just, it'll strike it off your list and you see it there. It's front and center. You can't ignore it. Another idea is using, there's a ton of apps that you can use to track your habits. So you might say, look, I want to do, and it doesn't have to be on the daily, like a daily streak. It could be 3 times a week. I'll definitely do this. I do find that having it daily is actually easier to do. If you say it's 3 days, then you get confused. Like, oh, was it a Monday? I can't remember. And I honestly just haven't had success with that. Saying that, what was funny in episode 2 is that I was umming and ahhing over doing 2x Tuesday. And the feedback on 2x Tuesday actually blew me away. I'm super surprised by all the comments that came out of that. And I was kind of going, oh, do I do it every 2 weeks? Do I do it weekly? I think now that I talk about streaks, it's good to have that regular pattern. So 2x Tuesday, I'm announcing it now, will be available on the weekly. There's a lot of people that talk about the importance of building a habit through streaks. Seinfeld also does it with his writing. So he has a habit of getting up every morning and just writing a ton of jokes and or just writing, just sitting there physically and just being in a chair for an hour. And if he does that, if he accomplishes that, then he gets the streak to add on the board. And it does give you a hit of dopamine and you feel very proud seeing these streaks out there. So where can it turn? Why is this episode about, I mean, it sounds great in theory, right? And if you haven't heard about streaks before, I'm excited. Please let me know if you start one after listening to this. So streaks seem to work for me until they don't. I'll share a couple of examples. One is with my Apple Watch. I think I can't even remember when I broke this streak, but it got to a stage where I was getting, there's a move ring on your Apple Watch, and I had it set. And I think I've had 680 days in a row where I've closed my move ring, and every day it would sparkle up and say, you're on day 681, 682. And I was looking at the stat every day, and it stopped becoming impressive. I was like, oh, this is really cool. But I thought I really should up the goal. And I didn't end up doing that because I didn't want to break. I was in fear of breaking the streak. So in terms of building your performance, when you get to pass to a stage, and I hadn't really identified what a win would be. I just thought, oh, I'll start this streak. I got to 90 days. Let's go for 360. Let's see how we go. I just kept building and building. I think Chris Guillebeau from Side Hustle School, I think he's over at like 1,000. I thought that would be cool. But I'm sure in one moment, there must have been a day where I just forgot about it. I was pretty sedentary and it just ended. And it's so disheartening when that happens. You think, well, what is actually the point? So the point now, I've kind of reframed it in my mind, is to set bigger goals and not go for the streak, because it's going to take me like a year and a half to build that up again, but actually go for like a higher move goal. And if I don't get it, that's fine, but at least I'm aspiring for that. So that was one example, and these are both related to exercise. The second one is the Peloton. So I got the Peloton bike plus, I think it was October or November last year. And before going to the US, I was on an awesome streak. As I'm recording this episode, I've looked through the app to see the daily streak, and I was on 98 days in a row of using the Peloton app. And that's not necessarily using the bike, but I was engaging with the app every day. Even if it was for a 5-minute meditation, I thought, as long as I'm engaging with the app, I'm keeping this run on, that's awesome. When I got to the US, the hotel I was staying at had a Peloton bike, and I went down there to give it a go. There was someone on that, so I thought, I'll just go on the treadmill and wait for him to finish. And like after 30 minutes on the treadmill, I'm like, okay, no, I'm not going to go on the bike now. But also with the time difference as well, I think I would have lost today on the way home, so I couldn't keep the streak up. So I get back, the streak's gone. I was doing a fitness program through it that had ended, and again, just felt completely demotivated. I know that sounds ridiculous, but I thought 2 weeks, it took me 98 days, and now it's all gone in a day, and it's going to take me another 3 months to build this back up. Gosh, I find that really disheartening. Aww. So the question then is, like, how do you get back on the bike? Literally, how do you get back on the bike? So how did I sort of re-engage and re-motivate? I didn't do it very well, I don't think. Or maybe I put too much pressure on myself, but I'll share. I got home, then I was running an off-site in another state. Then on the weekend, I think I got back on the bike and it felt bad. I remember how kind of fit I was getting and how breathless I was on the Saturday when I went back on the bike. I was like, this is not good. Then I on Sunday, I just couldn't stay awake. I was really tired. I think the jet lag and everything just hit me on Sunday. And I thought, well, I now have to restart this again. So what do I do? How do I restart this streak instead of, and the question shouldn't be that. So there's the problem. If you are used to creating a streak, the question shouldn't be when do I choose to restart the streak? The question should just be, hey, let's just get on the bike, right? Because of that additional pressure, I was like, well, now if I get on the bike, I have to start a new streak again. Now I'm going to quickly pivot and give us some more context on Peloton in terms of technology, because I think this is where technology can really link in and help us get back on the bike or get back on the thing that we want to get back on, linking technology and community. In Peloton, there's quite a few different types of rides, but I think I'm going to talk about three today. The first one is on demand. So this is something that has been recorded. It could have been recorded a year ago. You're jumping in. And there might be a couple of people in there at the same time, but usually you're just competing against the leaderboard, which is everyone that's ever ridden before. And there's no real live interaction. You can't high five people, all of that. That's on demand. Then there is a live ride. Now, these are usually kind of hardcore, not because like the ride is hardcore, but because you just full of adrenaline, like people are high-fiving, the instructor is running it live. So you think, wow, this is actually happening. You can see the thousands of people that are riding with you. It has its own energy, and usually find that you'll get a personal best when you're on a live ride. And then something I'd never done before is I was looking through what ride do I do. I was checking out like hip hop rides because I'm obsessed with Snoop after his Super Bowl performance, which I'll talk about in a moment. And I was looking, and there was a ride, an encore ride that was starting in 2 minutes. Like, oh, an encore ride, 20 minutes, let me jump on. What an encore ride is, and this is, I'm going to dive deeper into the encore. This is the one in the middle. It's a pre-recorded ride, but they replay it and they make it seem like a live session. So when you jump in, there were 800 people on there live, and we were all riding a pre-recorded ride. it's like a hybrid of live versus on demand. It's like this cool middle option. So it's not live, so it's not insanely hardcore for someone that's just come back and doesn't want to kill themselves. And it's not where you're like, this is on demand, I'm just doing this on my own. You feel like there's a sense of community and you sort of push yourself harder, but not as hard as you would. I love it because I had the autonomy of choosing when I'm going to ride, but I still have community around me as well. And I see this emerging more and more, and I'm going to share something that I do that not really many people know. It's kind of embarrassing to commit this, but when I do like to chill out, I'll hop onto YouTube, and I actually am obsessed with watching reaction videos, all different types of reaction videos. What a reaction video is, the example is Super Bowl is an example, would be the example. I love the Super Bowl halftime show, and I watched like the first 5 minutes of that over and over and over again. I was just in awe of the camaraderie, the collaboration, the fact that Snoop and Dre are still relevant now, and the songs were just super cool and the crowd they attract. Oh my gosh. Then I got sort of sick of watching the same old scenes, and YouTube with the algorithm will feed you things. So it was feeding me these reaction videos of people around the US that were hanging out together and they videoed themselves watching Super Bowl. And then I started watching that and getting into that rabbit hole of reaction videos. But that's not the first time, unfortunately, I have to admit. Hamilton the musical, there's a couple songs that I love. One is Wait For It and My Shot. And there's only so many times you can watch it on Disney and like replay it again. Then I was watching a vocal artist who was commentating on how great it was and pausing it in certain places and explaining things. The reaction video, if you live in Australia, there's a TV show called Gogglebox. It's really, really popular. And all it is it profiles Australian families sitting on their couch watching TV shows and then commenting about it. So this is like the third path. I think it's absolutely emerging. You are getting the experience of what the thing actually is, so the live event, but you don't necessarily have to be there live to experience the feeling of it in terms of that community it harnesses. And that's why I think the encore ride is so powerful. That's why the reaction videos are hooking me in. One more reaction video I will recommend before I make my point. There are these twins in America. I think they're around like the ages of 21, 22, and they have millions of subscribers. So I'm not alone in watching this. That's a disclaimer. They watch these old clips of artists they've never seen before and they react to it. So one of their most popular videos is them watching Phil Collins In the Air Tonight. And they're just going, oh yeah, the song's average, and then the drum beat kicks in and their faces just cannot believe the drum beat coming in so late. They've filmed videos of themselves watching Michael Jackson moonwalk for the first time. I cannot get enough of the reaction videos, the commentary on things that have happened in the past. What it does is really celebrates the live moment again. It brings it alive, that energy, the feeling, whatever was contained, it's back again. It's the ultimate version of reliving something is this encore. And I think Facebook recognized that a while ago, but maybe their timing was a bit off with watch parties. That really hasn't taken off on the platform. And I'm confused. I really think it should. If you think about any type of event, if you work internally, you've got an all hands meeting. Basically, your only two options are if you're there live, you get to experience it. If you're not there live, you get to watch the recording on your own. So I guess the question I have for you is how could you turn that into an encore experience for yourself? What are some ways that you can modify if you want to create a habit that sticks? Rather than feeling like you're on your own, how can you create a sense of community, even though people may not be physically with you, in order to do the thing that you need to do? I realized that I've sort of hacked this without even recognizing it was like the encore. For example, my Nike 2020 kilometer running challenge I did 2 years ago, obviously in 2020, that was an asynchronous challenge, but it felt like I was part of a community because I was seeing my friends post runs. That motivated me to post my run. And I think that's the beauty and magic of it, is that people don't need to be live. But the sense that they're around can actually create wonders in terms of your accountability and what you achieve as well. So that's my question to you, is if you're trying to develop a new skill, a new habit, if you want to create a sense and of a feeling that just is relived over and over again, what are some ways that you could apply the encore philosophy into the work that you do? And on that note, who knows if I will continue my streak tomorrow, but honestly, I'm fine with that. It's episode 3. It's not number 98. Have an awesome day. You're the best. Thank you so much for tuning in to Work and Live Large. I really appreciate you. If you know someone in your network and you think, oh my gosh, they've got so much potential, like I want them to live and work larger, send them this episode. I think they might appreciate it. I also appreciate hearing from you, your feedback, your thoughts, your questions, anything. You can shoot me an email, hello@leannehughes.com, or find me on LinkedIn, just search for Leanne Hughes. Stay up to date with all the episodes by heading on over to leannehughes.com/subscribe, and all the best with your week as you go around living it up.